Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless persons.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not devotees of the Lord are careless and unintelligent. Unless one is thoroughly intelligent, one cannot be a devotee of the Lord. Those who are not devotees of the Lord fall prey to the actions of Kali. It will not be possible to bring about a saner condition in society unless we are prepared to accept the modes of action adopted by Maharaj Parikshit,
i.e. propagation of the devotional service of the Lord to the common man. Can read that purport again. Those who are not devotees of the Lord are careless and unintelligent. Unless one is thoroughly intelligent, one cannot be a devotee of the Lord. Those who are not devotees of the Lord fall prey to the actions of Kali. It will not be possible to bring about a saner condition in society unless we are prepared to accept the modes of action adopted by Maharaj Parikshit, i.e. propagation of the devotional service of the Lord to the common man.
Kimnubaleshu shurena kalinadhira bhiruna apramatak pramateshu yovriko nushuvartate. So the Baleshu means less intelligent, or children. They're also in the category. Children are also less intelligent. Or another meaning, or another understanding of this Baleshu means the innocent. They're less intelligent, but innocent. Not atheistic or not demoniac by nature. That means they can be changed. And the Madhyamadikaris, they are supposed to preach amongst the Balisheshu. Ishvara tad adineshu Balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kipopeksha. These are the methods for the Madhyamadikari: to worship the Lord, make friendship with the devotees, have mercy. Kripa means mercy upon those who are in a subordinate position. There are two types of service. One is called kripa and the other is called seva. Seva is meant for the Supreme Lord because He's superior service. And kripa is meant for those who are in a subordinate position. They require compassion. So the devotees should be compassionate upon the Balisheshu, those who are less intelligent, who have lost their understanding of life. They're not behaving. They're not intelligent. The process of Krishna consciousness transforms those who are less intelligent into those who are more intelligent by education. Because Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavya. The education of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the king of education, Raja Vidya. There's no higher education. We can see that the problems that are plaguing the educated society are not even problems for the devotees. They have no difficulty answering these questions in a moment. Like, for example, we could take hundreds and thousands of these questions, but we could just pick a few that the poor, educated people are trying to figure out. Like, at what point does life begin? Like, is it conception or is it later on? For a devotee, the answer is immediate. Or, is there life on other planets or not? Immediately the devotees have the answer to that. Will we be able in the future to make man deathless? Immediately devotees can answer that. Will we be able to create life in the future in the test tube? These questions, did we live before? Is there heaven? Is there hell? All these questions, is evolution, is Darwin's theory correct? So many things. Devotees immediately have the answer. Just see what's happened. Now, someone may say, yes, but his IQ is not so high. He may have these, he just memorized like a parrot. Or he's able to spew them out, repeating like a parrot what he's heard. But he's not really intelligent because his IQ is not very high. But that's not the characteristic of intelligence. That's the characteristic of just a parrot. He's just spewing back what he's read or what he's heard. But a devotee is actually intelligent because he can understand what is right and wrong. Intelligence means to be able to determine what should be done and what should not be done. The mind is not able to do that. The mind is simply able to bring up different concepts, different ideas, thinking, feeling, and willing. Well, the mind is able to organize the impulses brought in by the senses. That is, the mind is good at doing that. But it cannot decide correctly whether it should be done or not. That is left for the intelligence. So an intelligent person knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. And we can see that by that definition, the so-called the persons who are educated by material standards, they still don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Therefore, they're unintelligent. It's like, for example, let's say somebody, he can tell you all the constituents of a particular glass of liquid. And he tells you, yes, this has poisonous properties. It is a combination of this poison and that poison. There's different things, and then he can give you all the breakdown. He can give you the even the molecular formula of the combination, the chemical combination. And then after doing that, even at a blackboard, he writes it all out, writes the C blank blank, you know, all the different chemical kind. And then afterwards, he drinks it and falls down dead on the floor. Is he very intelligent? We'd have to say, he's not very intelligent. He seemed to know what was in it, but he didn't know that it wasn't a very good idea to drink it. Or you might say, well, he's a big philosopher, and he wanted to show that he didn't care about living or dying. But he's still unintelligent because he's going to have to come back and suffer as a ghost. So in either situation, he's not intelligent. Intelligence means know what to do. And the living entity is meant, the living entity is not created, but still he's designed for servant in relationship with Krishna. That's his natural position. When he does that, he's happy. Now, in this world, serving God, it's a difficult thing. We were discussing last night about the principle of taking care of one's home and family and personal things. It seems that that is the most important thing, to look after myself. It seems that God has put me in a situation where I'm supposed to care for myself. All the other animals do, all the plants. The animals generally don't care for others. There's no welfare. Although the mother does. She has a special inclination to protect her offspring. And she will and bring food for her offspring and other things. But generally speaking, the animals are just looking after their own body and perhaps the body of their immediate family. So why then is it that the human being is supposed to not care about his own necessity and simply serve God? It seems quite difficult to understand it, how it works. But we can understand from the analogy of the father, the very magnanimous and wealthy father, and the child. The child doesn't have to figure out how he's going to make a living. He has no worries. How am I going to maintain myself? Where is the food going to come from? Who's going to cook the food? Who's going to shop? These things are not required for him, because he's being maintained by his father. That's all being taken care of. Similarly, Now someone may ask, well, does that mean that the animals shouldn't go out and search for food because God will take care of them? If they were engaged in devotional service, then yes, they wouldn't have to worry about their food. Their food would be supplied naturally. But because they're in ignorance, then they have to work. What about a human? Should he do nothing? No, he shouldn't do nothing. He should do devotional service. And if he does devotional service, he'll find that his necessities are provided. Krishna makes the arrangement for them. Just like, for example, a government. If they have a very important ambassador, so they need him for some important service. Say they need to go and negotiate in the Middle East. So they send him there. Do you think they tell him, now while you're there, try to get a job selling newspapers so you can rent a room or something? No, it's ridiculous. You understand the point? They send him there. They take care of his accommodation, his food. And they say, well, and by the way, make sure you grow some things in the garden there so you can eat. No, they provide him. He doesn't have to worry. They even make sure he's fed and someone's driving him there, because he's doing important work. Similarly, the devotees are doing the most important service for the Lord. Yaidam paramam guyam mat bhakte shubhidhasati. Who knows what that verse means? Raise your hand if you know. It means there is no one more dear to me than he, the preacher, one who preaches Bhagavad Gita. Nachateshu manusheshu kaschin me priyakirtama. And there will never be one more dear to me. He's the most dear to me, and there will never be one more dear who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita. So if the devotees are doing this important message, important work, isn't it logical that their necessities will be taken care of by the person who's employing them, who's engaging them? Therefore, they don't have to worry. It's not necessary for them to think, how am I going to get my meals? It comes in different ways according to the particular service. For example, for a brahmana, he takes charity. People offer him charity. And a kshatriya, he doesn't take charity, but he takes taxes. And a vaishya, he gets his money from his labor, his either protecting cows or agriculture or mercantile business. And a shudra, he gets a salary. He works for one of the other three. Now, in any case, if they're all devotees, then the means of accepting the livelihood is coming from Krishna. They should see it like that. I'm a Vaishya, I'm protecting cows, and Krishna is taking care to give me my necessities through this service as a Vaishya. Chatur vidha, chatur varnyam mayashrishtam guna karma vibhagasha tasikartam abhimam vidikartam abhim. Krishna says, I created this system of varnas and ashram. This is coming from Krishna. And one can be a devotee. It's not that one has to be separate from the varnas to be a devotee. No. He accepts. He stays in his position, but he does that varna, he makes it as an offering to Krishna. Let's say he's a brahmana, so he uses his brahminical inclination. What are the brahminical inclinations? Microphone.
Mainly compassion and is expert in knowing the Shastra.
Yes, is Shama, self-control, Dhamma. He controls his senses, controls his mind. Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, performs austerity, Tapa, Shuchi. Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, Shocham. Arjava is honest, religious, Gyanam, knowledge, Vijnanam, realized knowledge. These are the qualities of the Brahmana. So he does that, he cultivates those qualities, performs those activities as a service to Krishna. So he becomes a Brahmana Vaishnava. If he doesn't perform those duties as a service to Krishna, there's six occupations of the Brahman. What are the six occupations?
Giving in charity, receiving in charity, giving in charity.
That's two.
He worships the deity and he teaches the worship of the deity. And he studies the scripture and he teaches.
Patana patana yajana yajana dana patigraha. So he uses these six occupational duties as a service to Krishna. He studies about Krishna. He doesn't just study ordinary, mundane information. But he studies about Krishna, and he teaches others about Krishna. Same thing with the Kshatriya. So in other words, these responsibilities can be transformed into devotional service. Krishna was showing that in Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna thought that spiritual life meant you had to give up all activities and just do some meditation or some begging or some be a Brahmana. He thought that you could only be a devotee if you were a Brahmana or renounced everything. But Krishna showed you don't need to renounce it, just use it. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchite Prapanchikataya Pudya Harisambandha Vastuna Mumukshupi Parityago Vairagyam Palgupati Kachate. The impersonalists think you have to give up everything. That's renunciation. But the devotees know you don't have to give up the activity, just give up the enjoying mentality, give up the ignorance. You could perform the same activity. Kshatriya is supposed to protect, uphold dharma. So there's two types of, there's dharma, ordinary dharma, material laws, and then there's spiritual laws. So the devotee goes beyond the ordinary rules. A devotee becomes more than an ordinary Brahmana. He doesn't just study the Vedas so that he can go to the heavenly planets. He wants to go beyond the heavenly planet. He wants to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. The Vaishya is not just thinking that I want to get money for myself. He wants to get money so that he can spend it for the pleasure of Sri Krishna, for building temples, or subsidizing book publishing, like Prabhupada engaged George Harrison in that way. He bought a temple and he helped subsidize book publishing. And then he also did his own preaching through he was a musician, so Prabhupada taught him how to use his music for preaching. Everyone should learn how to use their talents for preaching. Any questions?
So Srila Prabhupada, he was a householder, and he established his pharmaceutical laboratory, and his business was going around India to sell his products, and with that desire to help support Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's mission, and he did everything he could, but he kept attempting to do that, and he wasn't, and somehow Krishna arranged things in such a way that it failed. It kept failing. He was struggling just to keep things barely, you know, keep things going. And his family also wasn't helping him, wasn't supporting him in his endeavors to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission under Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's direction. So then he gave it up. He tried to salvage. It says even if you're faulty, sometimes it says that you're supposed to stick with your duty no matter what.
So what's the question?
So it seems unclear in this.
He didn't give it up prematurely when he was 58 years old. He had done his duty as a grihastha. He had put in his time. So it was time. Time was up now. It was ready for vanaprastha.
As a 50. And then sannyas. But
so he didn't take sannyas prematurely. He didn't renounce his grihastha responsibilities, Prima. He put in his time. So that he was just following the Varnashram system, which says, Pancha Urdvam Banam Bhajat. At the age of 50, you're supposed to retire from business. He even gave a few extra years. Of course, he was, the last several years, he was getting more and more. He was working, he was moving towards the Vanaprastha stage. He was hardly at home at all. He was mostly out and spending a lot of time also involved in preaching work.
How much association is appropriate at the Varna, at the Vanaprastha stage?
Association with
the family and the wife.
Well, Prabhupada described it like this. So, when he becomes a Vanaprastha, he takes the wife and he goes out to the holy place, spends a few months, and then they come back. They come back to the home, just to see that everything's going. He doesn't work anymore. He turns the business over to the son, the eldest son. So he's not working. He's just living there. He's already got a house. And then he stays for a while and goes out again to another holy place. They spend a few months, they come back. So this way he does like that. That way, it's not too much for anyone. Not too much for him to be away from the home. Not too much for the children, for the wife. And then at a certain point, he tells his wife, okay, now you stay at home. I'm going to take sannyas.
Is he relying on the family at all for maintenance at that point? Or is he just begging?
There's four stages of Vanaprastha. So, yes, in the beginning he's doing that. Later on there's more developed stages where he doesn't. Then he goes into the fields and gets some food grains after they harvest the field. Like Kanas. Just like even the sannyasi, the first stage, he doesn't move very far away. He just moves a little bit outside of his home. So he's Vanaprastha up till that point. Then he moves outside, but he's still in the same village. And his family brings him food. So that is Ajishi Gori Dai Gida. Kuti Chak stage. Kuti, he's living just near. And they're bringing him foodstuffs, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Then Bhavadak, he doesn't take from his family, but he goes door to door and gets. He still stays in the same area, but he goes door to door. Then Paribrajak, then he goes out broader, preaching all over the world. And Paramahamsa, he doesn't matter. He can stay anywhere or go anywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.